Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melbourne and broadcast through the Community Radio Network. It's always a pleasure to bring you through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and this is part one of a two-part program featuring the life and times of 80-year-old Bonnie Giorgi. Born in the cotton town of Malden, Missouri in 1939, Bonnie was brought up into a loving working-class family. Yet, even though they couldn't be considered as rich, as was the norm at that time in that part of the USA, Bonnie was brought up with what was called a mammy, an Afro-American woman who didn't replace her mother, but helped look after her and her siblings like a mother would. Her father built houses for locals, and she and her family would move into the house once it was safe to do so, until the house was finished, and then move on to the next. And so she found herself moving many times, but always living in and around Malden. At the age of 10, she and her father both contracted TB, and they were shipped off to a sanatorium in Arizona, where Bonnie stayed for 8 months until well, while it took her father 2 years before he could leave. As she got older, local dances became a feature of her weekends, and she would, like many girls, spend much of Saturday preparing for the Saturday night dance. She was a good dancer and took up square dancing, where she and her brother won several prizes. Eventually, the family moved to California, and Bonnie talks extensively about the trials and tribulations of having to deal with her Missouri accent and the food differences. Bonnie also shares stories of her high school experiences and working at a car hop as a waitress, where she met her husband-to-be, a cook named Ivan. Then, there's the story of spending a whole week's wages in the late 1950s to see a very young Elvis in a live show. So many stories. So, let's make a start. Here I am, talking with Bonnie. Okay, Bonnie, can I start off by asking you, please, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
I was born September the 17th, 1939, and I was born in Malden, Missouri.
Malden, Missouri. Okay. That would be quite a different lifestyle than most Australians who were born in that period would have been brought up in. What would be your earliest memories?
Going to school.
Roughly how old would you have been?
I can remember going to school at about 7.
Right.
I went to school in a small school that was one room, where the little ones sat in the front, and the older you got, the further towards the back you got. When the little ones finished their work, then you laid your head down on the desk and had a rest while the big ones were being taught.
Right.
And we walked to school and we walked home.
And nobody thought anything about it. It was just natural, wasn't it?
Everybody did. Everybody yes. walked to school. I mean, you weren't the only one.
Right.
In fact, we had about, I'd say about a mile to walk.
That's quite a good walk for a little kid.
But one would get on each side of the road and we would play jump rope down the road on the way to school.
So you make a game out of it.
Yes, because there was hardly any cars.
Right.
Once in a while you got took to school. I had a friend that lived a couple of doors down, which was still quite a ways. And she lived with her grandma Weston because her parents had been killed.
Right.
And she had an old Model T with a running board on each sword.
Right.
And we would all get this, and sometimes there was even some standing on the running
on the board
on the outside, and she would take us to school. Most of the time you walk.
What was the area you lived in like? Was it desolate and dry, or was it very...
Cotton-growing country.
So that would have been the main income for most of the people around there?
Yes.
What about your parents? What line of work was Dad in?
My parents... I was one of the lucky ones. My parents owned property. I was raised on cotton farm, but it was a large one. I was raised by a Negro mammy. It was just normal life to me.
Right. What sort of relationship did you have with her?
She was like your second mother. She did everything for you that your mother would have done for you when your mother wasn't there.
Right.
And she stayed with us even until we were teenagers.
Goodness me. So really
she just became part of the family.
Part of the family. You would have had actually then a close relationship with her.
Oh,
help
very.
It. Yes. What about your own mother? What sort of woman was she, your birth mother?
My own mother was a very loving, kind person, very spontaneous, the spur of the moment. If she decided to do something, well, like if she said, I think we'll go to so-and-so, you just packed your suitcase and went. You didn't have time to think.
How many brothers and sisters did you have then?
I had four brothers and sisters.
And where were you age-wise? Were you?
I was the baby.
You were the baby. Was that a good place to be, do you think?
Yeah.
Because sometimes the baby of the family tends to get ignored. Other times they get doted on.
Yeah, it was just...
You were just part of the family. Yeah. It was just there. What about Dad? What sort of man was your father?
My father was... He didn't really like farming. He built houses, not like a big contractor nowadays, right. But like he would come and he would build your house. I can remember we lived in several different houses while they were being built. And then once it was finished, like we lived in them when the 2x4s and stuff of the walls were there, but the inside plaster wasn't and stuff.
Mm.
And when they were completely finished, then they got sold and we moved someplace else.
So you did spend a fair bit of time moving from house to house then?
Yes.
That would have been fairly disruptive with friends in school, wouldn't it, for you?
No, because it was all in the same area.
Oh, okay. So you still kept those contacts. So that would have just been a normal lifestyle for you then?
It was. Yes. You thought nothing of it. Yes. Because it's just the way life was.
Right. These days, kids have all sorts of things for entertainment. A lot of them are screens and things like this. But going back to your time, there would have been very little in the way of toys and things like this. So what did you do to entertain yourself?
We went outside. We played kick the can. You played hide and seek. You ran through the fields and played games and thought that that's the way, well, that's how everybody else lived. We didn't get television till I was a teenager.
So when was that? That would have been, what, in the 50s? 1950s?
Yes.
Do you remember the television coming?
I remember the television coming, and it was a very small little square in a great big stand-up box.
Was it black and white or colour?
Oh, black and white.
Black and white.
We didn't get colour for quite a few years.
Right.
And yet we still had colour. When I came here with my children, they kept telling me to put the colour on the telly because the telly was black and white.
We still had black and white then, and that's right.
They had had colour.
Oh, that would have been difficult for them.
And I had a phonograph in my bedroom, and it was the old stand-up, wind-up one that you had to wind up by hand.
Did you have any favourite records or music style or anything like that?
I used to like Frank Sinatra and those kind of people.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat and that happy tune? Is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid, 'cause this rover crossed over. If I never had a cent, I'd be as rich as that boy Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street. With those blues on parade, because this rover, he's crossed over. If I never had a cent, I'd be as loaded as old Rockefeller with that gold dust round. around my feet on the sunny side of the street. On the side, I said the side of the street that is sunny.
I don't know, I feel today if you close your eyes, you couldn't tell who's singing, a guy or a woman, because they all sound the same. I like a man that sings with a man's voice.
A nice crooner.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that's fair comment. I think there'd be a lot of people whose memories of music over the generations are very pleasant and look to today's music and shake their heads in wonderment. But it's very easy to lose touch, isn't it? I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's easy for the young people and it's harder for us. And but when they become old, they'll go through the same thing.
And to me, dancing nowadays, half of it I would call more gymnastics or something than buddy dancing. But.
Dances. Did you go to many dances as a girl?
Oh, yeah. Every Saturday night.
That was the big thing.
Yes. You got up on Saturday morning, you washed your hair, put curlers in it.
Right.
And then you spent the whole morning starching all your stiff petticoats so you, because you were going out to the dance Saturday night.
What style of dancing did
well,
you...
Well, it was before... There was a bit of jitterbug, but long before rock and roll came in. We still did the waltz and those kind of dances.
What about barn dancing? Did that... Was that in your
life? I used to square dance.
Square dance. Right.
My brother and I were a team. And we square danced. We won a few prizes and stuff in square dancing.
So that was obviously a style of dancing you really enjoyed.
I did.
And this is Listen to Older Voices. Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Bonnie Giorgio. And Bonnie is reflecting on her early life as a child, having been born in a small town in Missouri, USA.
Growing up in Missouri at that time, when you think back at it now, do you think back at it with fondness or do you think back at it and think, oh gosh, things should have been different?
Oh no, I think I had as good a childhood as anybody could have.
Right.
Except that when I was 10, my father and I both got TB and went to a sanitarium. My father spent 2 years in the sanitarium. I only spent 8 months. We went to Arizona to a sanitarium. When I got out and I went home, once a month, the county used to send a car, and they would a Red Cross car, and they would pick us up, and they would automatically take us for TB testing. That was Mama and the whole family.
Goodness.
If you liked it or not, you,
right, you had
quit.
To. Yes.
And
what was the experience in the sanitarium like? Because you were away from your family, it must have been a bit lonely.
It wasn't, because there was two sections of the sanitarium. Daddy was over there, but where I was all other children. It was like a big dormitory building.
Right.
Okay. It was like a hospital with rows of beds, and you were treated like you were in hospital until you got to a certain stage, and then you went outside and sat in the sunshine and stuff, and then after that got a little bit better, then you got to play games and stuff in the sunshine. And you were with so many other children that you didn't...
Almost like a holiday camp?
Yeah. More than a hospital.
Yes. So no school.
Well, you did have some school lessons to do, but they were done outside. And evidently, they thought the sunshine was going to cure you more than anything else was.
Right.
And maybe it did. I don't know.
Well, certainly Arizona's got a very dry...
Very dry climate.
Climate, yes. So
now, see, when I came here, I got really annoyed once, because I went to this chest specialist in Ringwood Private Hospital. And I said to him, could it be my TB come back? And he turned around and looked at me like I was absolutely stupid and said, don't be stupid, we're not a third world country.
Oh.
And I said, well, I beg your pardon. When I got TB in America, it wasn't a third world
country. That's right. Now, that didn't show very much empathy, did it?
No, because I was told later that everybody carries TB germs. It's just if you get run down enough, it's they can take over.
Mm.
But you fight them off.
Yes. Well, we certainly did have TB in this country. And in fact, there was a very big push for TB x-rays when I was young, that everybody had them just to try and get rid of it as a disease. So, yeah, that wasn't a very pleasant experience with a specialist. Sometimes wonder about their personal manners, don't you?
You do sometimes. Never went back to it.
I can understand that. So you're growing up. You become a teenager. Do you go to high school?
When I was a teenager, we moved to the north. We moved to California.
That was a big move for you.
Yes. And I did go to high school. But it was very hard when we got to California at first because of the way we talked. We were made fun of.
Really?
Because we would say, Are you all going to come over? Or we're going to go out and sit on the stoop? And still you had to learn to say porch, and you had to learn to... It was like when I came to Australia. They spoke English, but it was a different English.
That's true enough.
Well, the North had a different English from the South. And plus, I had a grandmother who was very religious. What we in the States call a holy roller.
Right, yes, I know the term.
And I can remember when I got engaged, I went and I told my grandmother, and do you want to know what she said to me? You're going to die and go to hell for marrying a Catholic.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, well, I am sorry, but if this is religion, I don't need it. Because when we used to go to her house, she had a television, but you couldn't watch it. It was never turned on unless some evangelist came to town, like Billy Graham or Earl Roberts came. Well, the TV was on all the time. And they used to set up tents at the fairgrounds and have these great big week of religious revivals. And Billy Graham would come saying, and Grandma would be down there every day, every night.
Goodness.
And my brother and I used to go, God will probably punish us for this.
Oh, he's an understanding God.
We used to go and we'd sit in the back row. And when it was this, hallelujah, praise the Lord, we used to make fun. We used to get in trouble all the time.
I think you were just normal children.
Yeah, but Mama used to say, if you don't believe, you shouldn't go. But we went because it was like, a three rings.
An entertainment. Yeah, free entertainment at that. Well, I for one totally understand and approve. So life was quite different in California for you.
Oh, yeah.
Apart from the people, what was the biggest difference from where you came from that you can recall?
Well, the way you lived and the way you talked. Well, even the food.
Even the food?
A lot of people just think America's great, but they don't realize it's like you go from California to your New England states to your southern states, your food changes in all these different areas quite significantly.
So you had to learn to eat a whole new range of cuisine.
Yes. You had to learn to live totally different. You had to learn to speak totally different.
Do you look back now and think that there was a time when you were starting to get accepted then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you indicated you went through a pretty hard time for a while.
Yeah, but only for a couple of years.
Right. So life was ended up being good in California.
Yeah.
Right. Were you with the whole family there?
Oh, yes.
Right. So you're getting older and you go to high school. Was high school a pleasant experience?
High school was a pleasant experience. I can remember one thing about high school is it was two stories.
Right.
And at one time, they banned us girls from wearing petticoats because two different lots couldn't go up the stairs at the same time because the petticoats were so big and taking up so much room. Like, there wasn't room for two.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
In different directions up the stairs.
Oh, goodness me.
And then your dress, your uniform, you used to have to go in and kneel on the floor And if your skirt didn't touch the floor, you got sent home because it was too short.
Of course, the 1950s this would have been, wouldn't it? Yes, they were pretty strict. Oh, yes, that's right.
And you got to wear these great red bloomers with a white blouse for PE. I used to hate having to do PE because of that.
You're a girl that you were brought up on a particular style of music and dancing that was native to where you were born. Now you're in California in the 50s and rock and roll comes and California really embraced it. Was that too alien for you, or did you...
Oh, no, it was good.
It was good.
And when I went to work, I got to see Elvis Presley when he was young. We paid, my girlfriends and I, we paid almost a week's wages to go and stand up because we couldn't afford a seat.
Right.
But there was a standing, but we saw Elvis.
You saw a young Elvis.
Oh, yes.
That's a memory you'll never forget.
No.
No.
My daughter here went 2 years ago. She went to America just to go see a Graceland.
Yep.
Mainly, well, she did other things too. But,
of course. Do you recall that show that you saw him in? And do you recall any of the songs he sang?
Oh, he sang Blue Suede Shoes and My Teddy Bear and all of those right from the bloody beginning.
Oh, baby, let me be your loving teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be,
oh, let him be
your old teddy bear. I don't want to be a tiger, cause tigers play too rough. I don't want to be a lion, cause lions ain't the kind you love enough. But I just want to be your teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be,
oh, let him be
your teddy bear. Baby, let me be around you every night. Run your fingers through my hair and cuddle me real tight. Oh, let me be,
oh, let him be
your teddy bear. I don't want to be your tiger, cause tigers play too rough. I don't want to be a lion, cause lions ain't the kind you love enough. Cause I wanna be your teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be,
oh, let it be
your teddy bear. Oh, let me be,
oh, let it be your teddy bear.
I just wanna be your...
He used to come on the Ed Sullivan Show on telly, and they would only show him from the waist up,
right,
because it was too indecent.
Because he was moving
wiggled
his hips.
The way he wiggled was just too indecent.
We look back now and look at what they do these days and go, oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. At least he wore clothes. Half of them now don't even wear much clothes.
That's right. So at what age did you leave high school? Did you go right through, or did you leave before high school finished?
I did not do my senior year.
Right.
I can't really tell you why I didn't do my senior year, because I can't remember, but
fair
I
enough
didn't. And then later, after I was married, I went back to night school and finished my senior year.
Got oh, my, good for you.
A diploma, my graduation from high school. My husband graduated from high school, but he was taken to the Korean War 3 weeks before he would have graduated.
I'd like to talk to you in a moment about you and how you met your husband, but going back to you, getting your diploma even after you'd left, that must have been a moment of great satisfaction for you.
It was, because I knew I could do it.
Yes.
I just hadn't bothered.
Yes. First of all, what was your husband's name?
Ivan.
Ivan. How did you meet Ivan?
He was a cook in a restaurant that I went to work at that had car halts.
Oh, that's where you would park and they would bring the food out?
That's right. They never got out of their car. We served them in their cars. Anyway, I was working there, and I used to hate going to work if they told me he was the cook that night. I used to just hate working with him. And one night, A friend of mine said, come on, we're going to go on this double date. And I went, and I ended up with him.
Oh, dear.
And then anyway, after a little bit, I started going out with him. And he said to me, if you go out with me for 6 months and don't go with anybody else, I'll buy you an engagement ring. Well, before that 6 months was over, I had the ring and he marched me down the aisle.
What was it about Ivan when you first met him as the cook that put you off him? What was it?
He was an irritating cook. He was fussy about the way you picked your food up and how quick you picked it up and everything like that.
Right. And what was it about him that eventually attracted you to him?
Well, he was a really nice person when you got him away from food, when you got him out of the kitchen, then he was a totally different person.
Oh, these days, most women would be trying to push their husbands into the kitchen. Is that Ivan up here?
Yes.
So, how old were you when you married Ivan?
I was 19 when I married Ivan.
Was that considered as young in those days or normal?
No.
No, just it was.
In fact, that wasn't even really young. A lot of them married at 16, 17.
Right. So Mum and Dad were happy with Ivan?
Yes.
Yep.
My mother, yes. She did say to me when I said I was going to marry him, she said, just remember, you make your bed, you lie in it. Meaning, you're not going to come back.
Oh, okay. Once you go, once you leave that door.
Yeah, that's it. You got to. It's your decision, it's your life, you put up with it after you get married.
Join Bonnie and I next week for the conclusion of a story, how she and Ivan moved to Australia and set up home here, and why it is that Bonnie thinks that living in Australia is far better than the USA. And there's a lot more to come. So join Bonnie and I next week on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Community Radio Network.